Just so everybody realizes that this show is being recorded one day ahead of time because I'm still at home working out of my studios in Salisbury at Casa Miles. But right now it is time to be joined by our good friend, Brian Ross. It is Real News. And every week there's always something to talk about in Real News. And this week there's a bunch of stuff to talk about. I changed the order of what I was going to talk to Brian about. Brian, first of all, good morning and thanks for joining us today.
Good to be here. As always, hope you're on the mend.
I am on the mend, and hopefully I'll be back in the studio soon. The first thing I want to talk about is something that Democrats have been calling for when actually Barack Obama was president, and that was to install younger liberal justices. And so now we find out that Breyer is going to retire at the end of this term, and it will be President Joe Biden's selection process to name a new member of the Supreme Court.
Right. He bowed to the pressure, which was really unrelenting because, of course, Justice Ginsburg did not retire. She felt confident that Donald Trump would never win. So they lost that seat. And so even if they will replace Stephen Breyer, he's 83 years old. He's the court's oldest justice. He still will be one of only three liberals on the court because there's a 6-3 majority there for the conservatives. But even so, it could have been worse. And so President Biden was not commenting immediately because the announcement hasn't come formally from Justice Breyer. But it's pretty clear that's what's going to happen at the end of the term in June, which gives the Democrats in the Senate kind of a narrow margin to get a replacement, hoping that every one of the 50 Democrats stays healthy and alive until that vote.
Well, that's the whole thing. And for people that that don't understand, I think you have to they have to realize that they will, as long as the Democrats come together, they will win that vote in the Senate.
Right. And so far, the two Democrats who have not supported full-heartedly the Biden agenda, Senators Manchin and Sinema, haven't said a word about the Supreme Court. And a reminder of how important all the problems the Democrats have with those two senators, they need them, really need them now.
Yeah, they need them more than ever. And the first thing that Joe Biden really had said when he was running was that he wanted to pick a Black woman for the Supreme Court.
He said that when he was campaigning, and I think he'll be true to his word. There are a number of candidates out there.
So that is story number one to take a look at. But the other story, which is a ever imposing story, is the Ukraine with Russia, the United States, NATO, and the fear that if push comes to shove and Russia goes in and NATO and the United States gets involved, then you're going to have China move on Taiwan. This is really turning into, I can think back to when I was in grammar school, this is turning into a scenario that is very, very scary.
That's a very important test for President Joe Biden, and he's being put to the test, no doubt. And they have seemed this week to go from trying to keep things cool and not sort of give the Russians any sort of a pretext for a provocation. And so now they're placing troops in high alert, moving lots and lots of weaponry into the Ukraine, clearly signaling this is going to be a showdown. And we don't know how it's going to come out. And the only person who really knows is Vladimir Putin. And all the people I talk to in the intelligence agency say that he probably doesn't know yet, hasn't made up his mind.
This is definitely one of those cases where it's whoever blinks first. But really, when you look at what was said over the course of the past 24 hours, the U.S. is acting with equal force to bolster Ukraine's defense. Also, NATO has not ruled out the possibility of getting involved in the Ukraine. And it's going to be a big test to see exactly how firm of a commitment that Putin has and how well the agencies, both the United States investigative agencies, NATO, Britain, our allies, and also Russia, who is reading the correct tea leaves.
Well, absolutely. And of course, the danger is that it can escalate and get out of control very quickly. Richard Clark, the former national security advisor, first cybersecurity czar in the country, was telling me this week he fears a cyber war could break out that would quickly go beyond Ukraine and Russia, and could see Russians and the U.S. exchanging cyber attacks on power grids, banking institutions, government websites. It could get very ugly very fast. And even though it's a long way off for most Americans, the potential is really there for a real bad situation.
And a situation that I don't think people in our country have faced since the days of the blockade of Cuba, to be quite honest with you.
Well, you know, there was Khrushchev testing Kennedy, and it was later written that Khrushchev thought Kennedy was weak and wouldn't respond, and he did respond. And I don't think that Putin should make the same calculation, the miscalculation about Joe Biden. We'll see what happens there. But clearly, he's put troops on alert. He's prepared to take swift actions. He so far has only identified that he would take certain financial actions, but those could be very harmful. The counterpoint is that if Russia were to cut off shipments of natural gas and other fuels to Europe, especially Germany, it could be a long, cold winter. And Germany really has not indicated 100% support for the plan based on what I've been seeing.
It's one of those situations that when you talk about it, it raises more than just the political context. The economic context is, as you say, so huge for NATO. Just skipping around just a little bit, let's go to COVID-19 in New York State. Of course, the governor was told by a judge that she could not impose her mask mandate that she wanted to. Joe Biden has pulled back on his. Where do we stand taking a look at COVID-19 now in this country?
Well, you know, both the governor of New York and the president of the United States are fighting some court rulings. I think New York had a temporary victory and reprieve. You know, I think history is going to record this as the strangest kind of thing where so many Americans decided they weren't going to get vaccinated. There was a poll that showed the people who are most worried about getting sick are the ones who were vaccinated, and the ones who weren't worried weren't getting vaccinated, and they really are going to be the real victims of this. We see clearly that two shots and a booster is a huge protection against people ending up in the hospital or dying, and no shots and no booster is a certain indication you could get really sick, and yet that's not enough to persuade people that the science is right. It's a kind of a dark ages for some people in this country with a complete rejection of science and intellectualism. And like, I know better than those fancy scientists.
Yeah, I've always stood by the rights of certain people who out their life who didn't believe in vaccinations. But what we face now is not people that are fundamentally against vaccinations. It really has become a political ploy, which is the dangerous part of this, because you always will have a certain number of people that have certain beliefs, whether they're religious or whatever it is. But when you mix politics and the heated debate between some Republicans, most Republicans and Democrats, it adds that dangerous mixture in that takes any sense out of the argument at all.
It really is the strangest thing, Marshall. I'm just stunned by it. And it is sort of like what they call it, idiocracy. It's really surprising. And I think as we look back on it, I hope at some point history will be able to understand why so many Americans felt they had to stand up to authority and stand on the last hill here was the hill not to get vaccinated. You got people like Robert Kennedy Jr., Robert Kennedy, the famed Attorney General, Senator, Democratic leader. I think he'd be ashamed of what his son is doing with his fiery speeches about the vaccines, and at one point comparing this to the plight of Jews under Nazi Germany. Just stunning, but nevertheless, it continues to be the case, fanned by social media and fanned by that certain place that calls itself a news network.
I always thank his wife for forcing him into apologizing for his remarks.
Goodness, she did that. But still, it is strange. He sort of apologized. He didn't mean to offend anybody. Yeah. But the thought was there, I'll tell you that.
All right. And one final story. If you're a member of the Democratic Party and you're a member of the ultra-liberal wing or the progressive wing, you saw Joe Biden come out and basically say, hey, I'm a middle Democrat. That's what I am. And Nancy Pelosi has announced her plans for re-election. And I know that a lot of the progressive side of the party, when Nancy Pelosi got the Speaker of the House once again, thought that this would be her last term. But this is a woman that doesn't stop.
It does not, although, you know, on Capitol Hill, people say that it's really unlikely that if she is going to lead the minority, that she would stay in that position. But she can't at this point say she's not running. She's got to run. But, you know, it's a bleak outlook for Democrats in the House. The Senate's a different story. But they haven't seen the kind of spark they need among the Democrats to have any chance of keeping control of the House. And, you know, history is not on the side of the party that is in power in the White House.
Well, once again, Brian, I want to thank you for recording this a day early because, once again, I'm at my home studio. It seems like every week there's blockbuster stories that we can change.
I know.
Maybe we'll get into a time where the stories, we can be more good news and up stories. But again, thanks for joining us again today, Brian.
Absolutely. And let's remember, you know, it's not, if it's good news, it really isn't news. We don't report on airplanes landing safely.
No, we don't. Brian, have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Brian.
You bet, Marshall. Feel better, okay, man?
All right, take care.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.